For there was a cat which died and went to heaven. And St. Peter met the cat at the gate and said, "You have been a good cat your whole life. Whatever you desire is now yours." The cat replied, "Well, I lived all my life with a very poor family on a farm, and I had to sleep on hardwood floors. So a soft place to sleep would be wonderful." And immediately, a large, fluffy pillow appeared. Well, several days later, a dozen mice died, and they went to heaven. When asked by St. Peter what the mice wanted, they gave the answer, "All our lives we've had to run. Cats, dogs, humans were always chasing us. Could you give us each a pair of rollerblades so we don't have to run anymore?" Immediately, each mouse was given a set of tiny rollerblades, one for each foot. Well, several weeks later, St. Peter decided to go and check on the cat. The cat was happily lounging on his new pillow. "How are you doing?" asked St. Peter. "Are you happy here?" "Oh, I've never been happier. Heaven is wonderful. And I've especially been enjoying those delicious meals on wheels that you've been sending me." Well, whenever we see stories of the heaven's gate, you always have St. Peter at the gate of heaven, because perhaps it's what the Lord said to him, "I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." So we always have this image of St. Peter being at the heavenly gate. But let's take a look for a few minutes today about into the life of St. Peter and also his fellow co-worker in the Lord, St. Paul. Because today, June 29th, is the feast day of these two great saints, Saints Peter and Paul. Now, they were similar in certain ways, but different in other ways. You know, St. Peter would become the apostle to the Jews, St. Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. They both were the early bishops of the church, the early pillars of our Catholic faith. One was chosen to be a pope, St. Peter. The other became a great missionary and evangelizer. But they both died a martyr's death. One was crucified, one was beheaded. Let's take a look first at the life of Simon Peter, who would become the first pope of the Holy Catholic Church. Today, of course, we have Pope Francis. I believe he's number 266 in that unbroken line of popes, going all the way back to the fisherman St. Peter. We know that St. Peter was born into the Jewish faith. He was born in Galilee. His brother Andrew also became a follower of Christ. In fact, Andrew was the first one that Jesus chose, and then through Andrew, Peter met the Lord, and St. Peter spent 3 years with Christ. And on one occasion, in today's gospel, we read it. Jesus says, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And all the crowds got it wrong. Some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Others say you're Elijah. Others say you're one of the prophets of old, come back. And then Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And one voice rang out. The voice of the shepherd who would become the first pope. And this is not something that Peter could have thought of on his own. Peter wasn't bright enough. He was not an educated man. He was a fisherman. But the Holy Spirit inspired him, and God the Father revealed to him to say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so then the Lord said, "Now I change your name from Simon to Peter." The word Simon is a word which means a reed, which is very bendable and flexible. He changed his name from reed to rock, to Kepha. And he said, "Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against the church." So here we are, 2,000 years later, the Catholic Church is still with us. Even despite the persecutions, even despite the sinfulness of some of the members, the church is still with us. And the church has never taught error on issues of faith and morals. Otherwise, the gates of hell would have prevailed against the church. But God protected the church from teaching error on issues of faith and morals. And so He then said to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." What power that is. If you give somebody your house keys or your car keys, you're giving them authority. Jesus gave Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be considered loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That's awesome power given from Christ to his representative, the first pope. And Peter is always seen as the leader of the apostles. St. Peter is mentioned 195 times in the New Testament, more than all the other apostles put together. And St. Peter was the one chosen by Christ to go with James and John to see the transfiguration, to heal the daughter of Jairus, to be with him in the agony in the garden. St. Peter had a couple great miracles that took place around him. On one day, Jesus cured Peter's mother-in-law. That didn't make as much of an impact as the next day when he had St. Peter catch the whole large catch of fish. That's what got Peter's attention, was the fish. And that's when Peter had his conversion and said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." And Jesus said, "No, I choose you to become a fisher of men." Well, St. Peter would follow Christ, but at the end, he denied Jesus three times. And he swore he did not even know the man. And yet, what happened to Peter after he sinned, after his mortal sin of denying the Lord three times? St. Peter did not despair. He did not do what Judas did and went out and Judas took his own life in despair. St. Peter did not. He was sorry, he repented, and he was reconciled and forgiven. So St. Peter is such a great patron saint for those who need to come back to confession. Come back to confession. Don't wait if it's been 10, 20, 30 years. Just go to confession and be forgiven. And if St. Peter can be forgiven for denying the Lord three times, then you can be forgiven as well. So don't give in to discouragement or to despair, but come with St. Peter as your patron saint. St. Peter wept bitterly for his sins. He wept, they say, for so many years that he had creases in his face from the line of tears that continually flowed from St. Peter. St. Peter ultimately would labor for the next 30 years, and he would be ultimately a martyr. In the year 64 AD, under Nero, St. Peter was crucified. And as he was being crucified, the historians tell us, he said, "I'm not worthy to die in the same way that my Lord and Savior died." And so his cross was turned upside down. So that is the symbol of St. Peter, the upside down cross. And his relics, his bones, are buried under the high altar at St. Peter's in the Vatican. And you can go there today and see them in the Scavi, the underground tour underneath St. Peter's. You can see the bones of St. Peter, our first pope. And so we have, I think, in St. Peter, such a great example of conversion, of hope, and not giving in to despair. And lastly, today we honor St. Paul. Peter and Paul are grouped together because these two were the two great pillars of the early church, the two greatest saints of the early Catholic Church. St. Paul, before his conversion, was known as Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus was born into a very devout Orthodox Jewish family. St. Paul studied under Gamaliel, the great rabbi. He became a Pharisee, a scholar, and a teacher of the law. Unlike St. Peter, who was an uneducated fisherman, God chose a very brilliant and well-educated Pharisee to become the great apostle and missionary. By trade, Saul was a tent maker. He was a Roman citizen. And so you'll find out that he could not be crucified. They would only crucify slaves. That's why Peter, who was not a Roman citizen, was crucified. St. Paul was beheaded at his martyrdom. But St. Paul was a zealous persecutor of the Christians. He hated Christianity. He tried to stamp it out. He participated in the stoning of St. Stephen, and Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus to arrest men and women and throw them into prison and kill them for being Christians. And yet God's grace, God's amazing grace, converted him, I'm sure through the prayers of the early church, praying for his conversion. He was then knocked off his horse, it seems, blinded, and he went to the apostles and was baptized, and he regained his sight, and he became a Christian. And then he would spend the next 30 years being the world's greatest missionary. He suffered a great deal. You know, Peter suffered too. He was in prison 4 times. But St. Paul was scourged 5 times, each time with 40 lashes. 3 times, St. Paul was beaten with rods. Once he was almost stoned to death. And 3 times he was shipwrecked. But he never stopped evangelizing. He never stopped sharing his faith. He even wrote 14 letters. So most of the New Testament is written by St. Paul. And even after his martyrdom, his words live on through his preaching and through his writings. St. Paul was arrested about the year 67 A.D. and beheaded in Rome. And he's buried just outside the city of Rome in the beautiful basilica called St. Paul's Outside the Walls. What we can learn about St. Paul, I think, would be that there's always hope. You might have somebody that you think is a hopeless case. Maybe somebody that you're praying for. It could be your father or mother or wife or husband or son or daughter or grandchild. And you might think, that person's a hopeless case. How could they ever convert to Christianity? How could they ever, be converted? Well, St. Paul is the great example. He was the most feared anti-Christian persecutor of the early church, and that he became the greatest missionary and evangelizer, one of the greatest apostles. So today, as we undergo continual more and more persecution of our faith and our attacks against our faith through the attacks against our religious freedom and our rights as individuals, we too have to pray for those who persecute the church. The early church prayed for Saul. We have to pray for world leaders. We have to pray for all those who are in need of conversion and pray for them. So no one is beyond hope, whether it be a family member or a member of a society or a government or a world leader. We have to pray for conversions. Let's not forget that I'm sure it was the prayers of the early church that brought about the grace of God to convert Saul of Tarsus into the great St. Paul. So here we have today these two saints, both unworthy, and yet they were chosen. I think that's something for us to remember, that God did not choose them because they were worthy. He chose them because they were weak instruments, and yet God's grace worked in their life. Peter and Paul became brothers in the Lord. They both shared a martyr's death. And so today on this great feast day, let's remember these two early pillars of the church. Remember what we can learn from their life. Never to give up on a person, to always pray for their conversion. And also, if a person does stray from the Lord and sin like St. Peter does, not to give in to discouragement or to despair, but come back to the mercy of God through the sacrament of confession.